Welcome in. You are listening to the Blue Notes podcast, a presentation of Indianapolis Colts stories and notes. I am your host, Benji Taylor. What a great win Sunday against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And that's what we want, right? The Colts are in the playoff picture. Now, they aren't a Super Bowl contender, but they're striving. They are a watchable team right now, which was not the case this time last year. And they have a possible future quarterback, maybe. Now, if you're wanting the 2004 Peyton Manning Colts or the 2013 Andrew Luck Colts, well, this isn't the team for you. But they've got some fight left, maybe even a little grit. Sunday's win made the third in a row and brought our beloved Colts to 6-5 on the season. It's a tough watch sometimes, to be honest, but it could be worse, much worse. And we've seen worse. This week on the podcast, we're going to talk about that game. But first, some shocking news last week. Shocking. Shocking. Stay with me, Colts fans. Folks, it is a cold, cold world out there. I mean cold. Former Colts head coach Frank Reich was just fired after coaching only 11 games with the Carolina Panthers' sad roster. 11 games. Ouch. And in the Indy chapter of that same cold story, Shaquille Leonard was waived during the bye week. Shaquille Leonard, Shaq, the artist formerly known as Darius Leonard. This guy was a four-time All-Pro, the NFL tackles leader in his rookie season, the leader in forced fumbles just 3 years later, a second-round draft pick, only 28 years old, just cut, mercilessly dismissed from the team. This was something we all thought might happen at the end of the season. Shaq just wasn't his old self after the back surgeries and clearly wasn't worth the giant paycheck. But just 2 weeks ago, I was holding out hope that Shaq could somehow return to a shadow of what he was. I talked about that on my most recent episode. I thought there was a sliver of a chance, but the Colts disagreed and cut bait early. Now, the player whose picture donned the side of the stadium and who once was the heartbeat of the Colts defense is now unemployed. It's a cold, cold world, Colts fans. One of the quick responses I've heard to this heartless move is that it is in line with the Colts' new initiative of strict accountability. And I get it. Daryl Baker Jr. was benched. Deion Jackson was cut after poor performances. But this story isn't like that. Those guys aren't four-time All-Pros coming off of major injuries. I thought Shaq deserved a little bit of grace. In fact, if there is any player on this roster who deserves some time to return to himself, it has to be Shaq. If not him, how does Gardner Minshew have a job? What about Quentin Nelson? Man, I love Q, but you cannot tell me he has earned his paycheck this year. He's been a very average guard this entire season, yet he's the second highest paid guard in the league, averaging about $20 million per season. PFF says this is his worst season in the league, and what's his excuse? He's not had any major surgeries or injuries. His play just has not been that great. So to cut a team leader fighting back from a serious injury, then pat yourself on the back in the name of accountability, that's a weird flex, man. Weird. If this team is so proud of its accountability, why is Mo Alie-Cox still on the roster? Hey, it's not personal, and he had a really nice catch on Sunday, but that guy is making almost $5 million this season to average about 25 snaps per game. He's a part-time tight end. That's about it. To be clear, I like Mo, and I really like Quentin Nelson. I don't mean to criticize those players, but I'm just having a hard time understanding the logic in cutting Shaq Leonard. In fact, I don't think it had anything to do with accountability. No, it seemed to be about money. And that's where Shaq has to share some of the blame. Let me tell you a story. I got a story for you. I attended Marshall University almost entirely on financial aid. If it weren't for financial aid, well, I would have gone to truck driving school. I mean, in fact, that was my first choice. But no, my mother said, you're going to college, okay? That was fine with me, but I didn't qualify for any scholarships, no athletic scholarships, certainly no academic scholarships, and we didn't have any money, so I got loans to pay for everything. I still remember going into the financial aid office and meeting with that nice lady. I think her name was Jean Ann or something like that. Jean Ann would say, Benji, you qualify for this much, whatever that amount was. She would say, and then she would ask, you want the whole amount? Do you want part of it? Do you want to save some for summer school? And my response was the same every year. Give me all of it, Jean Ann. I want it all and I want it now. I want it all and I want it now. We all want the big check, don't we? But we rarely consider the cost. Well, I'm now in my 40s and I'm still paying the cost. I'm still paying on those loans today. What was I to do? I was a 19-year-old kid and some woman asked me if I wanted money. I said, yes, of course. And I think that happens a lot in this league. These players want all the money they can possibly earn. And I get it. I don't blame them. I would have done the same thing. But let me ask you something. Do you think if somehow Shaq could have gotten $20 million per year, but instead he took 12 or even 10, if that happened, do you think he would be unemployed right now? Because I don't. Maybe it's a crazy, unrealistic idea, but I think if Shaq was making a little less money, that he gets a lot more grace. And if he's making $12 million, maybe you give him till the end of the season, or maybe even one more year. Maybe you could stomach that, just to see if he could return to his old self and become an asset to this team again. I don't blame Shaq for signing the big contract and taking everything he could possibly earn. We're all guilty of this. It's the human response. But we have to realize that with that big contract comes great expectations. And shrouded with those expectations are very little patience. And that's why today Shaq Leonard is without a job. Shaq was released during the bye week, and then, you know, the Colts actually played a game Sunday. It was a 27-20 win over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I don't want to get in the weeds too much with this game. I'm not sure a deep analysis is needed at this point in the season for a 6-5 football team, but it was a good win that deserves some discussion. As I mentioned earlier, this is now the third consecutive win for the Colts. I don't want to say that it completes a 3-game win streak because I don't think it's complete. This team can keep winning. But the 3-game stretch is a nice turnaround from the 3-game skid that preceded it. Tampa Bay hasn't been great this year, but that's a good roster. I believe that. Baker, I know he hasn't lived up to that number one draft pick, but he was a number one overall draft pick. The Bucs receivers are markedly better than the Colts. Their running backs, I think, are underrated. Their defense is always good. The Colts should feel pleased with this one. And it was only the second home win all season. To beat a team like that with a superior roster, the Colts had to have the right game plan, and they had to play sound football. And they did just that. Gardner Minshew threw the ball 41 times to only 27 total team rushes. That's still not the balance that I want to see, but it's close. More importantly, Gardner seemed to have time to throw, and he wasn't really getting the jitterbug feet back there like we saw before the bye. Thankfully, he seemed a bit more relaxed. As a team, the Colts averaged 5.7 yards per rush, which was an uptick from previous games. And in the passing game, Gardner super targeted his two best receivers, which just makes really good sense. Get this, Michael Pittman Jr. and Josh Downs were both targeted a whopping 13 times. Even Alec Pierce was targeted 6 times, and maybe the most shocking stat of the game is that he caught 4 of them. It wasn't an explosive passing game Sunday, but it was efficient. The offense was pretty good, but the defense was better. This is a unit that has been coming on as of late, and Sunday was its best performance in quite a while. The defensive line got consistent pressure on Baker, recording 6 sacks and 9 QB hits. 9. That production matches their best output since week 2 against the Texans. And that's what the Colts are now. The 2023 Colts have a limited but efficient offense with an emerging defense. The Colts played sound football Sunday. They won the turnover battle and won the game. Sometimes it's just that simple. How many times last season did Matt Ryan just hand the ball to the defense on a platter? The Colts kept losing close games, and in each contest they marked a higher number in the turnover column. It wasn't rocket science. Thankfully, the 2023 version of the Colts is taking much better care of the football, at least recently. A matchup I really enjoyed watching was Gardner Minshew versus Baker Mayfield. Of course, Baker was the higher draft pick, and for that reason, he'll probably get a little more attention. But those two quarterbacks are more similar than you might think. In fact, last year, I mentioned Baker's name as a possible Colts quarterback before the team decided to trade for old Matt Ryan. I thought he would have been a fun project. He's pretty gutsy, and he has a better than average arm. He could be accurate at times. It's funny that a year later, we have our version of Baker. Gardner may be a little skinnier and a little less accurate. He's probably also a little less erratic. Who could say? Baker threw for a higher percentage and 2 touchdowns Sunday, but it was his team that fell short. Well, if the Shaq dismissal wasn't gut-wrenching enough, Tuesday, Colts fans were doused with worse news. Jonathan Taylor injured his thumb in the game Sunday, and it was announced Tuesday that the injury will require surgery. Now, Jonathan Taylor is expected to miss multiple weeks. The Colts are 6-5 with 6 games left. I'm not sure he comes back this year. Maybe I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. But this is kind of devastating. Maybe that's a strong word. How about disheartening? That's about right. Yeah, disheartening. Think about it. Jonathan Taylor missed those first several games. We wondered if he'd ever play for the Colts again, but all of that changed when he unexpectedly signed a new contract. He was eased back into the lineup, and Sunday, he had probably his best game of the season. For a team that really lacks explosive players, JT was the right medicine. And now he's gone, extracted from this team with a snap of the fingers. I think they'll be okay. Zach Moss is more than capable, but this is the team that now has lost its starting quarterback and starting running back. If they lose a couple more games, it's going to be hard to choose this watch over a Sunday nap. I hate to end this thing on a sour note, but we must wrap this thing up. The Colts travel to Nashville to play the Titans Sunday. This is a team that just seems lost and confused. I look for an explosive defensive performance by the Colts, and I expect them to continue the win streak on the road. Come back next week, and hopefully we are talking about a division win for the good guys. Take care and go Colts! This was a presentation of the Blue Notes Podcast. I'm Benji Taylor. Thanks for listening.